Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello and welcome in. Thursday edition of the program underway. We've got more basketball tonight. NCAA Sweet 16 games, and I tell you what, I love the slate we've got for Thursday evening. I think I like the slate of Friday games even more, and should be an absolute fantastic weekend of college basketball. We have a loaded show for you today. Three great guests that are going to join us here in this segment in just a few moments. Let's look at the Honey Baked Ham Show lineup in just a few moments. Pat Graham, former IU player, Floyd Central, Floyd's Knobs native, is going to join us to talk a little basketball. We'll get into his thoughts on the Sweet 16. Excuse me, lots of coaching changes going on across college basketball right now. We'll talk about the carousel of coaching changes. We'll talk about the transfer portal and how it has affected the college game today. And just catch up with Pat. He's one of the most fun guests that we've had on this show in 10 years or so to interview for his comments, his insight on things. And I can tell from what you tell me as listeners, whether it's on the text line or when we're out and about in public, you really enjoy hearing from Pat Graham and former IU players. So Pat is kind enough to join us from time to time, and he will be with us in segment number one today. Also later in the show, it's Thursday, which means Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall will join us. We'll get into some IU stuff. The portal is very active. There are a number of names to really hone in on at this point that maybe make sense for Indiana next season. And with 7 scholarship spots available, obviously a lot of names going to be coming to Indiana out of the portal, and a really key name in recruiting on campus yesterday for Indiana that's a top 20 player in the class of 2024, and will be interesting to see if Indiana can find a way to reel him in. Then later in the show, Steve Kerberg, former coach in the area, great basketball gentleman here in Clark and Floyd counties. He's with us as we take a look at some off-season basketball stuff related to high school hoops, and we'll talk a little bit about the state championship games coming up this weekend as well. That's the lineup, the service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Check them out today. They've got great sandwiches and salads, soups as well, that are all made fresh daily and will surely satisfy any craving you have. You might even find something else to take home, as they have a variety of dinner packages. Give Honey Baked Ham in New Albany a try. I think you'll be glad that you did. Thornton's text line is open. That number, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450 is the Thornton's text line. Check out Thornton's all-new chicken and waffle burrito, now available at lunch. They've got a classic chicken burrito with a kick featuring Mike's Hot Honey. So check that out at Thornton's today and send us a text on the Thornton's text line, 502-414-1450. Our first of three guests, former IU player and really a legend in our state, Pat Graham, with us. Pat, great to have you back. March Madness right smack dab in the middle of the NCAA tournament. What a fun time it is for people in Indiana.
Well, obviously it's a great time. Everybody in the state of Indiana loves it. And being a huge basketball state, I don't know about the Indiana fans and the Kentucky fans and the Louisville fans, but pretty much anybody else is having a good time. It's a little different. I mean, you got all three teams. One's got knocked out and two never made it. So it's kind of a dull time for some of those.
Yeah, I guess from a basketball nuts area. Yeah, you're right, though, with some of the locals not in it, not the same, I'm sure, feeling or intensity by those fans. I want to talk about the tournament so far, and I want to start with Purdue, obviously a school that you're familiar with. I know you know Coach Painter and what he's doing there at Purdue, and you played against Purdue and had a lot of success against Purdue as a player for Bob Knight at Indiana. Does it pain you even to this day, like it does a lot of Indiana fans that I hear from, to see the Boilermakers have the type of success and to have built the type of program that they had and maybe be one of the front runners to get to the Final Four this year?
Oh, I guess we get into our ages, but like when I first got out of school, I was just like everybody else. And, you know, I had an issue with Purdue and all this stuff, but I mean, now, you know, I'm a basketball fan. I obviously root for Indiana. My heart's there, but I just, you know, I guess I've turned into my dad a little bit. I sound like a grandpa now. I enjoy good basketball, and you know, I will never shy away from it. Kentucky's the team that I've always had a little grunt with from where I was from. You know, guys that I played with at IU from north of Bloomington was all Purdue was the big issue. My issue was always with Kentucky, so I guess maybe my hatred for Purdue's never got to the top with some. I just have a lot of respect for him. I've always been a Painter fan. We were in high school together. We played AAU together, and I've just totally respected how he's done things and how he got into the coaching business and he worked his way up. And I, you know, funny story. I believe this is true. I saw Matt Painter's one of his first games at Purdue, and it was at the University of Evansville. And I was sitting behind the Purdue bench. It just so happened a friend of mine had tickets there. And it was one of the worst Big Ten teams I had ever seen in my life. I was floored at how bad Purdue was. U of E, I'm almost positive, won that game. And I was shocked. I said, there's no way this can work out. I didn't think anyone could fix it. And now, however many years later, he's, you know, got the number one ranking and all that stuff. So that's just, to me, that's respect. I think he's done a fabulous job. I love how he recruits. I love how he recruits the state of Indiana. I have total respect for him, and I'll never shy away from saying that I enjoy watching Purdue play. Sure, there's a little bit of me that can't get over the black and gold, but on the flip side, I just have respect for good basketball, and they are ones that play it.
Pat Graham joining us here in our opening segment today. Want to get into some NCAA tournament thoughts, and let's keep it with Purdue for just a moment. They've got a tough road ahead, Gonzaga coming up, and then it could be maybe Tennessee in the Elite Eight. Can this Purdue team get to the Final Four? Do you think they can win a national championship? Pat, you've seen a lot of ball. Where do you put this Purdue team at as far as their chances over the next week and a half or two?
I think last year, I called last year. Of course, I didn't think they would get beat in the first game, but I called last year because, you know, they're guards. They had two starting freshman guards last year. And you can say what you want, and I have total respect for those players. I love them. I think they're really, really good. But you can't, as Kentucky has seen this year, you cannot beat older players. You cannot match when a guy is a fourth-year player, a third-year player versus a rookie. Now, talent, obviously, you know, we can argue that till the, you know, cows come home, but you got to think when there's a freshman group or a freshman backcourt, not a freshman senior or a freshman junior, a freshman and a freshman. I said Purdue's going to have trouble next year or last year, and sure enough, I sounded like I was brilliant. But this year they've got a year under their belt. I think they're really good, and I think they have as good a chance as anyone to win it all. You know, obviously Edie's the elephant in the room that everyone kind of wants to, but the bottom line is he's the best player in college basketball from the standpoint of how he dictates the game, both offensively and defensively. He is just the piece that you can't figure out and you can't get away from. And it's hard to get him in foul trouble because he is so big and he doesn't have to go after block shots. And, you know, it's hard to have to get him to take his head fake or a shot fake or anything. So he is just the animal in the room that's different than everybody else, and it's hard to practice against it. I say all this, they could lose, I mean, their next game. And this is kind of a wide open, this is a really wide open tournament. I think UConn is by far and away the best team. They've shown it all year. I still think they can get beat. I just don't think there's a clear favorite. I think Purdue has every chance and as good a chance as anyone else to win it all. But I'll be honest with you, their next game I think is going to be their toughest.
Pat Graham with us here in our opening segment of this Thursday program talking the NCAA tournament. Before we get into some other stuff, Pat, related to the NCAA Sweet 16 and Elite Eight games coming up tonight and this weekend, is Connecticut your pick on your bracket, and is your bracket as screwed up as mine is this year?
I don't do brackets. I don't know. I always say if I do a bracket, I start thinking about other things. I just enjoy watching good games. That's what I, you know, when you don't have your team in it, which is kind of come to fruition with us, for us Indiana fans, I just like seeing good games. I want every game to go to overtime. And so I've just really enjoyed watching basketball this year. I'm not one that sits down and watches a whole game, but I watch parts of a ton of games. And from this year, from what I've seen, I think Purdue's played as well at times as anyone in the country. Again, they have a animal in the room that's different than anyone else has. UConn, though, I think I've probably seen them probably play 6 to 8 times. And I'm just like, every time I turn them on, I'm like, man, they're impressive. Well, they've lost some games this year, so it's not like they're unbeatable. But I think they are by far and away the best team. That doesn't mean, you know, the best team doesn't always win. So that's why they play the game. But I think going into it, you know, in the final 16, I think they, if I had to pick one team and I said, I've got to take them, gun in my head, that's who I would choose.
Pat, I got to ask you this. Every day on this show, especially with Indiana not being in the tournament, we talk maybe half the show about the transfer portal. The Hoosiers have, as of this date, 7 scholarships open that can be filled for next season. How difficult is it for you to, or do you embrace the portal? How difficult is that coming from your time where you grew up in Southern Indiana, your dream was to play at Indiana. When you got that opportunity, you jumped on it. And once you got there, you rode out the really good times and maybe some bad times as well to stick with Coach Knight and to stick with the Hoosiers. Nowadays, it's just a total different mentality, and the transfer portal has really changed college sports, especially basketball and football, it seems. What's your take on the transfer portal?
If I had to, right off the top, I don't know which I hate more. I know I hate one of them, but I think it changes with the stories and the recruiting and everything between the NIL and the portal. I hate both. But I probably, to be honest with you, I probably hate the NIL worse than anything. But I know it's here to stay. I think they're going to have to do something with it. I don't care if it's a salary cap or something, whatever that, I don't have the answer. I don't like calling out a problem, but not having an opinion, but I really don't have an opinion because I'm obviously not as smart as the NCAA, but the NIL and the transfer portal has completely, in my opinion, in good high school basketball and good college basketball, clean basketball, to me, it's kind of ruined it. I don't care if it's Kentucky, Indiana, Purdue, Notre Dame, Alabama, UCLA. I don't care. When the times of going and playing for a actual school and maybe even a coach, I understand that. It's out the window. It's all about money. No one wants to say that. Everybody, you know, well, you sound like an old man when you say this, but maybe I am. It's all about money. It's all about green. It's all about greed. It's all about me. It's all about I. And there is no teams anymore. It's over because NIL. I mean, I'm sorry. You know, you're talking about $500,000 for a kid in college. Jesus. I mean, I can't even comprehend about that when we were at IU, when we were playing against Kentucky and Purdue and these schools. I mean, it was something to have rivalries and go against teams and not have to think about it. I sure in hell wasn't worried about doing a commercial. And, yes, I hated cheaters. We played against a number of those schools that were cheating. We knew, everybody knew who was cheating, and that's the reason I hate cheaters. The problem is now everybody can cheat. Well, it's not cheating. It's legal now. But the NIL is what, in my opinion, has caused the biggest thing that I don't like about basketball and college basketball and high school basketball, and it's called loyalty. Loyalty is out the door. It's all about the money. Now, the transfer portal, you got one transfer back in the day. You had to set out a year. You couldn't go into your own conference, all that stuff. I somewhat liked it. I mean, if I went to this school and I had a better opportunity, you know, playing time or whatever the case may be, miss my family, want to move home, I don't care. You know, there's hundreds of reasonings. I understand a transfer. It's not, you know, I chose wrong or something happened in my family or my life. I need to move back. I get that. But you had a punishment, sit out 1 year. Now it's a free-for-all. And then you got this COVID year. When the hell is the COVID year going to end? You know, this extra year. I'm like, I was there 5 years. When I got done, Coach Knight asked me, do you want to petition the NCAA for your sixth year? I said, yes. I couldn't have played a sixth year. My foot was done. I was done. But I said yes because I was like, hell, if I could still be at IU playing, I'd still be. But I tried it, and I think they said I was two games over, whatever, and I didn't get my sixth year. Hell, I got kids now playing 6 years, and they've never been injured. I just don't get it. I mean, like I said, it's way over my head. But going back to your initial question, the NIL is what I hate more than anything. I guess I thought coming out of college without any, you know, debt was worth it. And that's not the case now. There's a way bigger thing in the room that no one really wants to talk about, but it still ruins loyalty. I don't care what anybody says.
Good stuff from Pat Graham, who's with us here on this Thursday show. Thornton's text line texter says, Pat, I saw you play an incredible game against Allen Houston when you played for Floyd Central. Was Allen Houston the best high schooler you faced while at Floyd Central?
Yes. Yeah. He was really good. I kind of always tell these stories every time an old question like that comes up. I can think of like seven different things, but Coach Davenport, who's at Bellarmine now, was the Ballard coach, and we always seem to play them, I think, maybe the second or third, fourth game of the year every year. And, growing up, I knew they had this really good player, same class as me, freshman year, sophomore year, junior year, obviously. And then, you know, by the time you're a sophomore, junior, you knew who he was. And hopefully he knew who I was, whatever. And I was 0-4 against Ballard. And the funny thing is, and not that this means anything, but every year when we went to the McDonald's All-American game and he and I flew out of Louisville together to Kansas City, and we kind of laughed about it, but he had a kid on his team named Bell that went to Western. He had a couple really good players, not that I didn't, but he had some Division I guys with him, and I always just kind of said, hey, man, you know, this is the reason he started laughing. He would always, you know, I remember my senior year, one of the worst missed shots I ever had. I had about a 14, 15 footer wide open, and I mean wide open, to win the game, missed it, and Ballard won at Floyd Central. And I'm like, that was the best chance I ever had to beat him. And I think that game I had 40 something, and he had like 26. But he had a team that had, you know, 26 and 24 and 22. I'm like, man, this is unbelievable. But that's just the way Ballard was. They were really good. Now I didn't have to do everything. And obviously, I didn't either. But on the flip side, I said I could never get him. I just couldn't. I was 0-4 against him. But, man, it was he was the best talented player that I ever played against in high school. I mean, I played against Damon and obviously, but Allen was another level. And then his dad was recruiting me at Louisville, and I just kind of looked at Coach Houston one day. I said, look, your son's coming to Louisville, and I really appreciate the offer and everything, but, you know, who are you trying to kid here? And so, of course, he got the Tennessee job, and he went to Tennessee, but that was always kind of a running joke too. But Allen Houston was absolutely a stud.
Pat Graham, my guest. Pat, we've got about 3 minutes left in this segment, but I'd love a really quick Joe Hinton story. Obviously, Coach Hinton still at it today, helping Angie as an assistant girls coach at Lanesville, coming off of back-to-back 1A state championships. Curious if there's one or two things you can quickly tell us that, because people still reminisce on Coach Hinton and those great days with the Highlanders, and really just who he's been as a basketball coach and guy here in Southern Indiana.
Well, you know, I could write a book on him, and I could write a book on Coach Hinton, or Coach Knight also. Coach Hinton, let's stay with that Ballard game. I remember, like I said, I missed a 14, 15-footer right in the middle of the lane. I had a wide-open shot. I cut to the middle. I caught the ball, faced up. I missed the last-second shot to win the game. And I'll never forget, there was – and this is the way back then worked, and Coach Hinton couldn't do this, or coaches today couldn't do this. But shame on today's world, because this is what I appreciate, and I love Coach Hinton today for this happening, but at the time I wasn't very happy. But we get beat, and, you know, back then you didn't have handshake lines. You know, you didn't have to go and do all that, whatever that is now. I mean, no one wants to do handshake lines, but I don't know why they do it, but whatever. And I missed the shot. I had to go to the other end to our locker room, and I'll never forget a ball, a yellow ball, you know, the little balls cheerleaders would throw up in the stands, whatever. And I remember one come flying out of the stands. I mean, the place was packed. There's 4,500 people there. I mean, it was standing room only. And all I can think about is this missed shot. And the ball comes flying out of the stands, and it bounces right in front of me. I mean, it was like almost on a tee. And I was hurt. I was mad at myself, whatever. You know, I just had the shot to win it. And I absolutely swung at this thing like a tennis racket and smacked this ball. And it goes up in the crow's nest, which is where the radio was done. It went that far. And Hinton saw it. So we get off the floor. And again, I had 40-something or whatever, but we got beat. And I'm thinking, you know, and that immature high school mentality, well, you know, I did my part. But when I get to the locker room, I took about a 2-minute butt ripping over how selfish I am and how I didn't rebound and I didn't guard and I didn't do this, I didn't do that. And it was all over this ball getting smacked and how selfish I was. So I got basically undressed by Coach Hinton in the locker room because of my selfishness. And I was mad. I mean, I was, hell yeah, that's where Coach Hinton and I, you know, we had some hard-headedness going, but on the flip side, the next morning you woke up and it was forgotten. But that was Coach Hinton. Like, he saw me do that. I'm thinking, Coach, if you had a ball land in front of you, you'd have done the exact same thing. But that's kind of the running joke with Coach Hinton. You know, it's very similar to Coach Knight. You know, do as I say, don't do as I do. And but that was just Coach Hinton. And you know, to this day, I'm so thankful that I got to play for a person that demanded like he did. I thank my lucky stars every day that I had him and Coach Dust. Because it helped me throughout my whole life. I mean, it wasn't easy. And if you played well or great and won, there was still something else you could have done. So I could rattle off 100 stories about Joe Hinton. That was just a good one. We just stayed with Ballard.
All right, great stuff. Pat Graham, it is always an honor to have you join us. I know you're very busy in life with family and kids and living in Evansville, but it's great to catch up. I said the last time we did this, just before the regional, that we would talk more often, and I appreciate the chance to do so again here on this Thursday show.
You call me anytime. I love doing it.
All right, I'll be in touch soon. Thank you, Pat. Pat Graham with us here on Thursday. Outstanding to have him with us. There's anything he can talk about. There's no limit to what his background, talking about great coaches, his days as a player, high school at Floyd Central, obviously college at Indiana. He knows everybody. Just a great resource for this show, and love to have him with us from time to time. Appreciate Pat being with us here as we enter our Thursday program. We'll head to a break. Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, is next. We will talk the latest with IU in the transfer portal and a big-name recruit on campus yesterday in Bloomington, a member of the 2024 class. We'll get all the scoop on that from Alex and more. Stay with us here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back with Alex Bozic of Inside the Hall. The Thornton's text line open, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. Alex, before we jump into IU stuff tonight, we've got Clemson and Arizona, UConn and San Diego State, North Carolina, Alabama, and what I think will be the best game, Iowa, Illinois. The nightcap at 10:09 is the tip-off later tonight. What's your thoughts on the best Thursday Sweet 16 game this evening?
Well, that's a tough one. I don't think San Diego State, UConn's going to be much of a game. I think UConn just rolling too high of a level, really, to be slowed down at this point in the tournament. Arizona, Clemson, I mean, I never want to count out Clemson because they've been so impressive so far in the tournament. Anything can happen. I was really impressed with how they played against Baylor, and happy to see Indiana native Brad Burnell march on to his, I think, second Sweet 16 now at Clemson. I know you mentioned Illinois, Iowa State. I'm kind of circling the Alabama-North Carolina game. I think could be really intriguing for a couple reasons. One, I mean, obviously North Carolina's had a great season. They're really justified being a one seed. But, you know, they did get past Michigan State, but that game was close there for a while. And I think the way Alabama plays in terms offensively, I think they're going to be able to keep up with North Carolina offensively. So I think that game to me is the most intriguing. I do like, as you mentioned, Illinois and Iowa State. I mean, I think Brad Underwood's got Illinois playing at such a high level. Probably won't make it to the end of that one, Matt. I'm looking at the schedule now. It's a 10:09 tip. Is there anything we can do to get these games moved up a little bit earlier? I ask. You know, that'll end up probably tipping like at 10:20. So, of those games, I'm looking forward to most Alabama and North Carolina.
And unfortunately, both of the games that I think will be the best, the North Carolina, Alabama, and then Illinois, Iowa State games, they're the later games. So North Carolina tips at 9:39, then that last game tips at 10:09. So there will be some conflict unless you've got multiple TVs. It's hard to focus in on both of them, but should be some good games tonight and this weekend. We'll see how things play out. Alex, from an IU standpoint, even though Indiana's not playing basketball right now, it's been a busy few weeks because the transfer portal is open. It is exploding, and Indiana, as expected, with some change needed, some additions needed, and 7 open spots, as we talk today, is going to be very active in that portal here for the next few weeks and probably a couple months. Is there a prospect or two right now that you feel Indiana is really honed in on, and that the prospect returns that same interest? Is there a name or two that you would most recommend to listeners to follow that maybe will commit to Indiana, or you feel like Indiana's a leader for?
I mean, from the portal side of things, which is what we're talking about, I think it's got to be Tony Perkins of Iowa. You know, Tony Perkins is a guy I can remember watching going back to high school, and he was a senior in high school when Archie Miller was Indiana's coach, and always wondered why Indiana didn't make a stronger push for him. He was always a guy that in AAU games when I saw him, he was always just going, doing the little things, helping team win. And he's had a really good career at Iowa. He was second team All Big Ten this past season. I think it makes a ton of sense for him if he wants to play closer to home. And I think it makes a ton of sense for Indiana because he's exactly the kind of player I think they can put the ball in his hands. If they get some shooting around him, he's not the greatest outside shooter, but I'm a big fan of Tony Perkins. I think he's a good kid. I can remember interviewing him a couple times back in the day when he was a high school kid. And just from following his career at Iowa, I think he's a good culture guy. I think he would fit in pretty well with the program. So being an Indianapolis kid, a local kid, I think the NIL opportunities for him would be pretty solid as well. So he's a guy that I think makes a ton of sense. Beyond that, Matt, you know, it's really hard to kind of parse where Indiana is in this process because there's so many guys entering the portal still, and there's so many guys that they reached out to. You know, I'm keeping a list on InsideTheHall.com of it's basically, last week I wasn't doing it every day, but this week I've done it three separate days, basically just tracking all the guys that Indiana's contacted and linking their highlights, how many years of eligibility, their stats, all that. And it's really hard to figure out exactly which direction they're going to go. I think it's still relatively early. We're just 10 days into this 45-day window. I think a lot's going to change, a lot's going to evolve. But if you had to ask me for one guy right now that is standing out, I would go with Tony Perkins.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. Tony Perkins, maybe, I know we saw him play, obviously, Indiana twice this season, and remember him from his high school days as well, but maybe a snapshot of his game and who he is as a Division I player, at least who he's been at Iowa.
He's really, I think, a solid player throughout his 4 years. The thing I like most about him, and I think this is a key for Indiana if they're going to recruit him and bring him onto the team, is that Iowa, they've done a really good job of surrounding him with shooters and guys that can make perimeter shots. I mean, Iowa, looking at their team this year, didn't have the greatest season, but they were still, they shot 35% from three, and he only shot 29.9%, and they did a good job of surrounding him by a guy like Peyton Sanford in past seasons, the Murray twins. That's the key to me with him, bringing him on board. I think he can play both guard spots, but I think you got to have shooters. I think, a guy like McKenzie Mbaku, if he were to come back for another season, Anthony Leal is a shooter. Some of these other guys that they're looking at from the portal, he's got to have two or three guys around him that can make perimeter shots to make him most effective, because if you do that, then the real strong suit of his game, one of the strong suits, is getting into the lane and drawing fouls. And he's done a terrific job over his career at Iowa, kind of looking at his free throw rate, which is basically the percentage of free throw attempts relative to the field goal attempts. And he had a really high mark there this year in that. He's a good free throw shooter, almost up at 80%. Not the most efficient offensive player, but I think if you can just let him play to his strengths offensively, which is kind of getting to the lane and getting to the rim, playing a little bit in transition, and then finding shooters on the perimeter, I think you have the makings of a real quality player. And I mean, there's not many times that a second team Big Ten player goes into the portal and is available, especially someone that's from your backyard. So I think it's an excellent opportunity for Indiana if they're to able to successfully land him and get his commitment.
Talking with Alex Bozich of InsideTheHall.com, at InsideTheHall on social media. Alex, another important thing to watch here for Indiana is yesterday they had a five-star member of the 2024 class, so current seniors on campus in Bloomington, his name Bryson Tucker. Kind of a big development here. He had been associated with Indiana in his recruitment some months ago, but not much involvement, it didn't seem, here recently. All of a sudden he pops up in Bloomington.
Yeah, that one kind of came out of nowhere, and it gave me kind of a flashback to 2021 when, out of nowhere, we heard that Indiana, I don't even know that we heard that he visited, because I don't think he did, because back at that time there wasn't visits because of COVID, but we heard that Tamar Bates had committed to Indiana, and this is a little bit different situation because Bryson Tucker is a guy that, we had him on our hot board for Indiana going back to last spring, last summer. But the belief there was that he was going to go to the G League Ignite program. Now that that's folded up and it's no longer going to be, in play moving forward, it makes college a more viable option for him. Really, at this point, it's just overtime elite if you want to go play, kind of a postgraduate year there, which they've done a really good job with their product, or go to college. And I think with the NIL opportunities that would be available to him, particularly a school like Indiana, I think it makes a lot of sense for him to go the college route. Spent some time this morning watching some video on him. He's not what I would consider to be kind of a knockdown shooter, but he's a shot maker. What I mean from that is he can go create offense, get shots for himself. Takes a lot of mid-range shots, which I'm not sure Indiana fans are going to love to hear after kind of what we've seen offensively the last couple of years. But he's a McDonald's All-American, which I believe he did not play AAU either, which is kind of rare for a prospect at that level. I think from what I've been able to gather, that they focus more on development, skill development with him rather than going playing on the AAU circuit. So one time I think he was ranked a top 10 prospect. I think he's somewhere in the 20s now over at 24/7. And the other interesting thing about him is he doesn't turn 18 till next summer. So he this coming summer, I mean, in early July. So he's younger than most. Typically, you'll hear a guy being older or a year older, kind of doing a redshirt type of year. He's actually young, so he's got a lot of room for growth ahead of him. And I think he'd be a really, I don't want to say a replacement, obviously, for Liam McNeely, because they're obviously completely different players. But I think, you know, kind of changing the narrative in terms of not being able to get high school players to commit, being able to kind of get a spring signee for the fourth straight year, I think would be a really big deal for Indiana at this point.
Talking with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. Alex, I know that NIL figures and numbers aren't always available. It's not a government deal. It's not really available via public record. So there's no way to, I don't think, officially track schools and who's got what to spend, or who's working with different collectives and what they have in their accounts, or what they've made through fundraisers. But is there any way to know, and I get this question a lot in different forms from people, but is there any way to know where Indiana basketball is at in the NIL situation compared to other Big Ten programs, or maybe some of the blue bloods in the country, the top tier programs? Is there any gauge of the NIL operation and associations that IU has compared to some of those other top tier programs?
Unfortunately, there's not anything public on that in terms of being able to see where things are from an NIL perspective. I mean, you hear and read different things. People say different things, and I don't think Indiana's made it a secret that, you know, they're on the recruiting trail, that they have strong resources from an NIL perspective. But that's not public information that I've seen. I've heard that in amongst Big Ten schools, they're somewhere in the top three. Might be at the top of the heap, depending on who you ask, who you talk to. But I don't think that's really a challenge for Indiana at this point. I think, especially going into this offseason, from what I've been told and from what I've been able to gather, that they've got the resources and able. I would just say NIL is not going to be a reason that Indiana doesn't do well in the portal. I think they're equipped with the resources that they need to get the job done. But to answer your question, Matt, there's no information out there. I think that'd be good and bad if there was information out there on that, because I think from a recruiting perspective, you'd see guys just hunting out schools, more specifically just for NIL. I'm not saying that doesn't happen, but to have like a published list somewhere, I just don't know how that would work and how it would look. I don't think that's something we're going to see. You'll hear a lot of numbers thrown about, and different things will be posted on social media. I know if you follow Trilly Donovan, the anonymous college basketball insider, he likes to, on his Discord that he has, he likes to throw numbers out that what he's heard in terms of what guys are getting. And some of these numbers are pretty eye-popping for this year, but I don't think we're going to see anything official published for, like, total budgets for schools or anything for specific guys that's going to get out there publicly, unless, you know, it's a leaked kind of thing.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. He joins us Thursdays on the show. Alex, enjoy the Sweet 16 games tonight and Elite Eight games this weekend. We'll catch up next week.
Absolutely, Matt. Thank you. Have a good day.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. We'll head to a commercial break and come back with our third and final guest of the day, Steve Kerberg, former head high school basketball coach in the area and a great basketball friend here, will join us to talk some high school hoops, off-season for our local teams, state championships for Brownstown and Scottsburg and other teams this weekend. We'll catch up on that and more after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
You know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Steve Kerberg, my guest. We talk high school basketball in this segment on Thursdays. We've entered off-season mode for our local teams here in Clark and Floyd counties. And Coach, I'm excited about the state championship games on Saturday. I think Brownstown and Scottsburg from the Mid-Southern Conference have great opportunities ahead of them to win a state title this weekend, but also a little bit sad because this Saturday officially marks the end of a game that we love so very much, high school hoops here in Indiana.
Yeah, but it turns around real quick, man. We'll be playing a lot of summer league games here real soon. And but, yeah, Brownstown and Scottsburg, I think you have to consider them both favorites. And how crazy is it that they both come out of the same conference? That's pretty cool. And I would definitely consider them Southern Indiana teams. So that's exciting to see that they are have a real chance to bring home two championships to Southern Indiana.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing both of those teams play. We had Coach Benner last week and Coach Richardson this week on the show to wish them well and learn a little bit more about their teams for our local listeners maybe that haven't had a chance to see them. But I'm also interested in Fishers and Ben Davis, obviously getting an opportunity to see Ben Davis twice a few weeks ago and one day at the semi-state. Of course, that championship game against Jeffersonville that we broadcast right here on the Big X. Ben Davis is good. They've got a lot of talent, and we'll see if they can play it close or keep it tight with a very, very loaded Fishers club on Saturday in the 4A game. I'm looking forward to all the games, but especially 2A and 3A from a local perspective, and 4A just from a pure talent perspective.
Absolutely. And then, of course, 1A, Bethesda Christian kind of flew under the radar all year and was able to knock off number one Bar Reeve in the semi-state last week, who Bar Reeve knocked off Evansville Christian, who was the favorite all season. So they kind of came out of nowhere. I'd say they're a pretty big favorite to win coming out of the South also. But the Ben Davis Fishers game, two heavyweights going to battle for sure. Fishers is the favorite on paper and the Sagarin rating, I guess, but Ben Davis was impressive the way they just showed a lot of grit and physicality and very athletic team. I was impressed with them also.
Steve Kerberg with me talking high school basketball. You know, really there's not a downtime for a high school coach. You know this as well as anyone in our area. A lot of schools on spring break right now are coming up, and once that ends, there is the availability of spring workouts. It's kind of different now. The IHSA a few years ago changed the rules where twice a week for up to 2 hours per day, you can actually have practice. You can actually work on things together as a team. It's no longer just individual or small groups or just open gym where the players run up and down the floor and scrimmage. You can actually have some real development here even this early in the off season.
Absolutely, and it's an opportunity for not only teams to already start working on next season or maybe put some new things in or even just to get better as a team, but it's also a time for players to get better, to work on a lot of skill work and a lot of drill type things. But, you know, you think of AAU basketball, a lot of times when you play a lot of basketball games, you may be on a really good team and may only touch the ball eight, ten times in the half or something, you know, and it's great to get that experience playing against high level players and playing the game of basketball. But to actually get better, you have to put the time in and get rep after rep after rep, shot after shot after shot, work on your weaknesses, work on the ball handling. That's the way I think players improve. So families and parents have a lot to weigh when they consider, you know, do I spend time, you know, working on, do we put a lot of time into AAU? Do we put a lot of time into trainers? Do we put a lot of time into just playing a lot of basketball? You know, it's a tough decision to make, and you have to weigh a lot of those things when you're trying to get better and maximize your time during the summer.
Talking with Steve Kerberg, former head high school basketball coach in the area. He's with me Thursdays as we talk hoops in our state. Off season, you mentioned how quickly it comes around. There are, just from a school ball perspective, workouts that can happen here anytime. There are summer league opportunities in June, chances to work with your team and play games and maybe go to a college campus or some other events at different places. That really kind of gets the season ticking because you, in that setting, have a chance to see these teams together and to see who's moved where and who is back and who is bigger and who is better. And then from there, it goes back into the school year where classes begin and workouts continue. And before you know it, we're through fall sports, back to winter, and back to high school basketball here in our state. So for a coach, Coach Kerberg, it's a year-round deal. You have something every month of the year related to your team. There is very, very little downtime for a head high school basketball coach in our state.
Absolutely. Weightlifting, and like you said, the practices now and the off season here and your summer leagues. But, that's one reason why I respect coaches so much. It really, truly is a year-long commitment. And I'm thankful for the coaches in our area that commit to that. It is really, really cool. But summer basketball was something I loved as a coach. A lot of the pressure was removed about wins and losses, and you just got to work on things. And you got to travel around the state. A couple years ago, we played 30-plus games in the summer and got to play the best teams from Louisville and around the state to Indianapolis all the way to team camp. And it's a special time to evaluate your team and actually grow closer together as a group and see what the season kind of may look like next year.
All right, we'll be back with you Friday at 11 o'clock. Thank you so much, Coach Kerberg. I don't want to forget the IU women in action in the Sweet 16 on Friday, a 5 o'clock game against number one seed South Carolina. A really, really big task ahead for Coach Morin and her group, but that's going to be fun to watch on Friday in addition to the Sweet 16 games tonight and Friday night as well. Enjoy all the games tonight. Should be some great ones. We'll be back Friday to talk about all of it right here at 11 a.m. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.